like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes, and the service today is coming from La Crosse, Wisconsin, being piped by phone back to Beaver Dam, and we're glad to be able to share things with you. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the last chapter of Matthew. I'm going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28. And the verse that we've chosen for Easter is verse 6. 28 verse 6. Which reads this way, is the words of the angel, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And the words that we're going to zero in are those three little words, "as he said." I'd like you to go back in time a few thousand years and try to imagine this scene as it unfolded. The darkness of night gradually begins to fade, and the sun starts climbing in the east and finally peaks over the distant mountains. And as it does, it begins a day which was literally filled with surprises. There's so many people here that were surprised. First of all, the soldiers. A battalion of Roman soldiers that were shocked out of their wits. The chapter begins this way. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Now, the keepers here were a battalion of Roman soldiers that Pilate had sent out to guard the tomb. The enemies of Jesus had remembered that he said he was going to rise on the last day. Now, they didn't believe that for a minute. But what they were concerned about is that the disciples might come at night and steal the body away and then spread the rumor that Christ was risen from the dead. And they said, boy, if that happens, then the last error is going to be worse than the first. If the tomb is empty for any reason, we're going to be in real trouble. So Pilate said, well, I'll give you a watch. You go and you make the tomb as sure as you can. Now, the tomb was sealed with a Roman seal. It was unlawful to break that under penalty of death. But besides that, there was the battalion of Roman soldiers out there. And I think they were making a mockery of this whole thing. Now, there wasn't one of them that really believed that there was going to be a problem on Easter morning. Imagine their surprise when all of a sudden there was this great big earthquake and this angel came down and walked right through the middle of the whole battalion. They were paralyzed like dead men. They're shaking. In the Greek, there's a kind of a word play between the word earthquake and the word shake. Earthquake's in verse 2. Shake is in verse 3. It's the same word. It comes from the same word. The truth here is that when the world shakes, the children of the world shake right with it. And that's exactly what was happening. And these soldiers were powerless to do it. As heavily armed as they were, taken by complete surprise when this angel walked right through the middle of them, rolled that stone away all by himself, and sat upon it. And Christ walked out and it was an empty tomb. So the soldiers were surprised. Now the next group to be surprised, the chief priests and the elders, they didn't believe for a minute this was going to happen either, but when it did, the soldiers went back to them. Now we're in verse 11. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests and all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Well, surprises are only nice at Christmas, and this wasn't Christmas. This came as a shocking surprise to the enemies of Jesus. They had already had their victory party, and now they found out that they had no victory anymore to celebrate. It cost them a pretty penny. They had to dig deep, buy off the soldiers to spread a lie. So the chief priests and elders were completely surprised on Easter morning. Now, they weren't the only ones. The group of women that came to the tomb, they weren't coming out to celebrate the resurrection from the dead. They were coming out to anoint a corpse. And when they got there, they were surprised, because there wasn't any corpse to anoint. And after the angel spoke to them, they went to the disciples and told the disciples, and the disciples were surprised. This is the last thing in the world that they were expecting, that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. It seems like everybody on Easter morning was surprised, with one exception. And the one exception, it seems to me, is the angel. He's the one that seems very matter-of-fact about the whole thing. There's the earthquake. The angel comes down from heaven, calmly walks through the battalion of soldiers, moves the stone from the tomb, and sits down upon them. Why wasn't he surprised? Well, the answer is very plain. Listen to what he said when the women came out. "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." The last three words, "as he said." This is why the angel wasn't surprised. Now, there are many places that Jesus had said he was going to rise from the dead. One of them is in Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to page back to that. And this is just one example of it. But Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 17. Jesus talking to his disciples and saying this, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Now, this isn't the only time that he said that. And in fact, the enemy remembered that. The disciples didn't, but the enemy did. In Matthew 27, verse 63, we read this, where the enemy went to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." So he said that, and yet it seemed like everybody except the angel was completely surprised on Easter morning. I claim they shouldn't have been. The real surprise would have been if he hadn't risen from the dead. How can we say that? How can we say that? Well, let's go back and look at a few of the things that Jesus said during the 3 years that he had his ministry on this earth. And we're just going to scratch the surface, but just a few of the things. One of the things he said was, "Be thou clean." Be thou clean. You know who he said that to? Well, sure you do. He said that to a guy that was a leper. And leper was an uncleanness. There was no doctor in the world that could cure it. Nobody in the world could cure it. And the Son of God looked at that leper and said, "Be thou clean," and the leprosy left.
Why? Because Jesus said so. Remember what the angel said. He is risen as he said. Jesus said, be clean, and the leprosy was gone. What else did Jesus say? Jesus sometimes said, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Speaking about a centurion's servant that the centurion loved, and he sent to Jesus to try and get him to heal that servant, was by now many miles away. The servant was sick in the house. The centurion was out there with Jesus. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come in my house. All you've got to do is say the word. I know that. Jesus said, go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. The same instant, even though they were separated by miles, the servant was healed. Why? Because Jesus said so. Scene shifts to the Sea of Galilee. Disciples in the boat with Jesus. All of a sudden, this tremendous storm arises. Disciples are scared half to death. They're going to drown. And these guys were not novices in the water. They were commercial fishermen. They had been raised on the water. If they were afraid, it must have been a terrible storm. What did Jesus say? We're not given the exact words, but Scripture tells us that He rebuked the winds and the sea. What happened? There was a great calm. The winds and the sea stopped. Why? Because Jesus said so. What else did he say? One time he said, go. One word, go. And they went. Who went? Two guys were possessed with demons. There were many, many demons that possessed these guys. Their name was Legion. These guys were so dangerous. They lived among the tombs, stark naked. Anybody that came out there was in danger of getting killed. They had been bound with chains. The chains couldn't even hold them. And when the boat landed on the shore, these two guys came running down. And Jesus rebuked the demons. Cast them out. Son of God said, go. And they went. Why? Because Jesus said so. It always happens as Jesus said. What else did he say? Arise, take up thy bed. He said this to a guy that was a cripple. A guy that had palsy so bad that he couldn't even take a step. He was lying on a bed. No doctor could cure that either. Son of God said, arise, take up your bed. And he did. Why? Because Jesus said so. As he said. Walks up to a table. Man is sitting there, and he says, follow me. And the guy gets up, leaves the table, and follows him. What's so great about this? Well, the table was filled with money. The guy that was sitting there was a man named Levi, also called Matthew, the one that wrote the gospel that we're looking at. Sitting there with his table of money. Love of money is the root of all evil. We know what power money has. Who could separate a man from his money? Only one. The one who said, follow me. And the guy did. Why? Because Jesus said so. You see a pattern developing? Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Said that to a guy that was born blind. This guy had never seen a ray of light in his whole life. He had no hope. Beggar. Jesus spit on the ground and made some clay and put it on the guy's eyes. And said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the guy did. For the first time in his life, he saw. It's never been done before. It's never been done since either. And it never will be. A guy that's born blind all of a sudden can see. Why? Because Jesus said so. What else did he say? One time he said, come. Come. And the guy came. This was set out on the sea. See, same Sea of Galilee we talked about before. In the middle of a great big storm, the disciples were in the boat. They were afraid again. And they saw Jesus walking across the face of the water. They didn't even know it was him. They thought it was a spirit. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, if it really is, then bid me come to you in the water. Jesus said, come. And a man started walking across the face of the water. Why? Because Jesus said so. That's why. What else did he say? They need not depart. You give them something to eat. Well, that didn't make any sense to them. 5,000 men out there, plus women and children. Time to send them home to eat. Jesus said, no, don't do that. You feed them. All they had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They fed the whole multitude. Why? Because Jesus said so. See, in every case, this is not what you would have thought. This would have defied all odds in every case that we've mentioned. But it happened the other way, against the odds. Why? Because Jesus said so. What else did he say? Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. This time he was talking to a tree. A fig tree. It had leaves on it. And you know that the fig tree always bears its fruit before the leaves come. If there's leaves on a fig tree, the fig tree is saying, I've got fruit to eat. This fig tree was a hypocrite. It lied. It had the leaves, but it didn't have the fruit. Jesus said, let no fruit go on thee henceforth forever. And the disciples were amazed. The next day the thing had dried up from the roots. Why? Because he said so. This is the Son of God talking. When a Son of God says something, things happen. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Well, that didn't make any sense either, and Peter pointed it out. Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. We were fishing at the best time in the best places, and we haven't caught a thing. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll cast down the net. All of a sudden, the net was filled with fish. Worst time of the day, worst part of the sea, but it happened. Why? Because Jesus said so. What else did he say? To Simon Peter, go. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Well, Peter's learned enough by this time that he didn't question. He went. Imagine a guy walking down to the Sea of Galilee. This took place in Capernaum, so the sea would be the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, up to 150 feet deep. One guy goes out there with a fish pole, throws it in, catches the fish, pulls it up, opens the mouth, there's a silver coin in it. Why? Because Jesus said so. See? Jesus said so. Out in the cemetery. Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden the guy comes walking out of the cave, bound in grave clothes, hand and foot, had been dead for 4 days. Why? Why did he come out? Because Jesus said so. Every single time that Jesus said something was going to happen, it happened. Except there are some times that he talked about the future yet, things that are still going to happen that haven't happened yet, but they will. But one of the things he said was this, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. That's what he said. Now, here's an odd truth. I don't know who first said this, but it really is true. If the Son of God wants to surprise his people, it seems like all he's got to do is keep his word, right? And so often, we just don't believe. So on Easter morning, coming out to anoint a tomb, or a body, coming out to the tomb to anoint a corpse. And, you know, some of the soldiers before this, and I don't know if they're some of the same ones that were out there guarding the tomb or not. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But they had been sent by the chief priests to capture Christ when he was teaching in the temple. So they walked up to take him captive, and when they got there, Jesus was teaching the people, and the soldiers stopped to listen. And they listened to him, and then they turned around and they went back empty-handed. And the chief priest said, "We sent you out to take him captive. Why didn't you bring him back?" And they said, "Never did a man speak like this man speaks. He's different. We've never heard anything like this before. We've never heard anybody like this before." And I've only scratched the surface here. There were so many things that Jesus said, and every time he said them, they happen. Now, why should we be surprised when we come out to the tomb on Easter morning and it's empty and he's risen from the dead? That's not the surprise. The real surprise would have been if he had still been in the tomb. That would have been the real surprise. Now, this thing was not done in a corner. Well documented and backed up by many, many, many things that the Son of God said. And this is where we find our comfort today. We walk out into the cemetery and visit the grave of a loved one who's died in Christ and be able to know that this is not the end of anything. They've only fallen asleep. And just as Christ rose on the last day, so also shall we. And that's why, you know, blessed Easter to all. We'll close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we confess that so often we find unbelief in our own hearts and we have worries and concerns that we shouldn't have. And I guess every time we can trace it back to the same thing, that we just simply do not believe the words that your Son has spoken in Scripture. But we pray that your Holy Spirit will rekindle the love in our own hearts and strengthen our faith in Him and give us that peace in the midst of turmoil which the world cannot give and cannot take away, knowing that every single thing is going to happen as He said. We pray this in His name who died and rose that we might live. Amen.